Moika.
Hey,
welcome to our podcast, Mastering Finland.
I'm Jean and I'm from California.
I'm Petra and I'm from the Czech Republic.
We're here to chat about our life in Finland.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. This is Jean and I am here today with Roham. Roham is from Iran and he came to Finland just 4 months ago, so in 2020. So hi, Roham. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Jane. Hello, everyone. And thank you. It's my pleasure to be here at the moment, to be honest.
Let's start with a question that's probably usually on everyone's minds about foreigners is what brought you to Finland?
Let's say luck and fortune, because I was looking for, you know, moving out from my country to move to a better country. And I was also really into, you know, getting a good education, let's say. And I found out Finland has got a very great, you know, education system. So just for a quick introduction of, you know, just so you know me, I'm 24 years old, but I have a daughter who is, you know, she's only 2 years old now. So I also wanted her to be raised in a great, you know, environment. Mm-hmm. And so these were the things that I was into consideration: good education, mm-hmm. a good place for my daughter to be raised, and also, you know, just in total, a better place than where I was, you know.
Yeah. So did you come here with a job already, or how did you start your life here in Finland?
So if I want to explain that, I have to go through, you know, again, I tell you a little bit of my background. In Iran, I used to be an English teacher.
Okay.
So I went to, you know, the university to study economics before becoming an English teacher when I was 18 years old. And due to some problems, I had to quit the university. So I quit it after 2 years of studying, and I never went for, you know, like degree, studying for a degree, let's say.
Okay.
And then I just went through some courses to be a teacher because my English was good, but I just need to know the art of how to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just worked in that career for 5 years. And then I was always sad that why can't I just, you know, study? Because I'm in love with studying, but I just can't, you know, I couldn't. I didn't have the opportunity because I got married in a young age. And then mm-hmm. a child came after that. And so I never had the opportunity, and I always loved to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I saw the opportunity to come here to Finland to study the business, yes, the administration business in the branch of international business, with the hoping of being an entrepreneur one day after my graduation, maybe.
Oh, wonderful.
Or maybe even, yeah. So that's a dream, and I came here to study for that dream. During this time, yeah, we just moved here for my studies, and I came here with my wife and daughter.
Okay, and you said you came here 4 months ago, so that was during the whole COVID situation.
How did you
manage to make that move? And I mean, I'm so glad that your whole family was able to move together.
Exactly. That's what I call lucky, because mm-hmm. You know, my university, it's Savonia University. I don't know if it's okay to mention
yes.
it or not.
Yes,
but
please.
Yeah, so it's Savonia University, which it needed to be, you know, I needed to take an entrance exam, and because I was in Iran, my entrance exam was about to be held in a third country, not in Iran, in okay. China, in fact. So
what?
Yes. The third country, I had to go to Shanghai to take the entrance exam of a university in Finland.
Oh yeah. My God.
So, exactly. So I was planning with my wife about, like, okay, so we will go to Shanghai, we'll take the exam, and then we come back to Iran, then we wait for the answer. If we got in, we will move to Finland.
Mm-hmm.
And after some time, you know, we just calculated our, you know, money, and we thought that, oh, we cannot go to Shanghai because we don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally gave up on moving to Finland and taking the entrance exam.
Oh,
and then COVID hit. And the university just emailed me and said, hey, interest exam is cancelled in Shanghai. You just send the motivation letter. We just want to see how your English is. I was like, okay, thank you for that. I will write you.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, I was an English teacher. So I was like, oh, piece of cake.
No problem. Yeah.
So, yeah, I wrote that motivation letter for them. They loved it. And I have to say, I wrote everything with honesty, to be honest, because I have read it that Finland is a country where honesty is valued very high. So I try to be as honest as I can. So I talked about my dream of being an entrepreneur, and I had the belief that if I moved there, this would be, you know, my one shot in life that, you know, I was always waiting for. So, yeah, I got in and...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I guess something, I don't know, good came out of COVID. I mean, I guess they really cut everyone some slack regarding
COVID. Was like, you know, so sad for everyone.
Yeah.
So much of, you know, disastrous. But it was my fortune.
Yes. That it happened to. Yeah. In a sense, like expedite the application process.
Exactly.
And that is such a Finland thing to do, is I feel like they're very practical, and everything that they require of people is realistic. I don't know if you have noticed that or think the same way. Like the fact that they canceled the entrance exam, they understand that it's unrealistic and maybe too much to ask in the current situation with COVID. But yeah, I'm so glad that they did that. So what are your overall thoughts on Finland, your first impression? You said you study in Savonia, which is in Kuopio. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, in Kuopio city, yes.
Yeah, and it's not a big city, right?
No. Yeah. It's a small city. Yeah, it's the ninth biggest city in Finland, but like, you know, comparing to my city where I come from, it's a very small city.
Yeah.
Yes. So the population here is 100,000, I guess, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
Something like that.
Okay.
But in Iran, in my city, Tehran, the population was about 13 million people.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, it's a small city for me.
Okay. So what was your first impression and transitioning to life here? What was that like the first couple of weeks or so?
You know, because I'm here, like, you know, I'm a newcomer here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I moved here, of course, by far, it's much better than my own country. So I can only see the positive things for now. For maybe for a year or two, everything is bad. You know, it doesn't even come to my eyes because I say, oh, it's okay, blah, 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 blah. So I always try to be positive. Of course, the fact that I'm optimistic all the time. But the point is, I love it here. Of course, sometimes I freeze in negative 30 degrees Celsius, you know, weather. But even the freezing is pleasant for me because I always think of, you know, the positive things it has. But still, one of the challenges that I have had, because I'm a friendly person and it's always easy for me to make friends.
Right.
So one of my challenges was to make friends with Finns.
Okay.
You know, too much of cultural difference. And they are living on the stereotype of them, you know, like they are cold, they are not friendly, they are blah blah. So they love the stereotype more than the, you know, the characteristics. You know, they don't have such characteristics, let's say, but they just love to live on the stereotype that they are like that. Because it's crazy, as soon as you befriend with them, they are so friendly, so talkative and blah blah. So how come is that true? But still, I'm still in the process of making friends with them, but something I have noticed, they are, at least to me, they are incredibly kind people, really helpful. So, you know, they have helped me a lot. You know, we can talk about my boss who is like, you know, a very, very kind person, which I'm always thankful to her, like outside and inside of the, you know, working. So she is always supportive, you know, like, so because she knows I have a family and she's very supportive.
Yeah.
My friends, my classmates, some of the Finns, I'm talking, of course, about the internationals. We internationals always have got our backs, you know, we always have our backs because we are here in as a foreigners. But Finns, surprisingly, they were very, very nice to me, at least, let's say. And despite the fact I still couldn't, although they are, nice, but you know, there is always difference between being nice or being friendly. So never friendly, but more nice.
That's an excellent point.
So thank you. But like, I'm still struggling with making friends with them because I'm really into their language, because I want to learn it, because I want to settle here. So I need the language. And the way I learned my language was, by speaking it. I learned English in this way. I spoke it with you know, foreigners, with like somehow the natives. So I learned it.
Okay.
And I want to do it the same with Finnish, but it's impossible. Because like, you go to shopping mall, you talk to them in Finnish, they answer you in English.
Okay,
I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I go to speak. I think they love to speak in English to practice their English. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
It's my assumption. But like, it's very hard. Of course, some of my Finn friends were so nice that they started speaking to me in Finnish.
Yeah.
And they are trying to help. But, you know, I couldn't get that close to talk for 24/7.
Yeah, it's true. I also tried the method of speaking only in Finnish. And I think actually it was part of our Finnish course where we had to go for one class and speak in Finnish, whether it's ordering coffee or something. And I think they see that we're struggling, and so they just switch to English for us as a favor. But it's like, no, I'm trying to practice here. But yeah. So yeah, you're pretty determined to learn the language and fully settle here and integrate, it seems. So in preparation for this interview, you had said that you also wanted to share about your experience with ADHD. I know that ADHD, I know it stands for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Exactly.
Can you maybe share briefly how this affects your life? And first of all, thank you for willing to share this part of your life. But yeah, how does it affect your daily life in general?
Okay, my favorite thing has come true. Actually, I have no shame of saying that I have ADHD, because it's something with me, and I'm never ashamed. So that's why I'm okay. I'm very open to share it. And I think everyone with it must be open. The point is, many people do not know that they have ADHD. Of course, maybe because of the stigmas or many things, but they don't want to be open about it, or they think it's a disorder that, I have this problem, so blah, blah. So I always, as I said, I'm optimistic. I always try to look at its positive ways. So let me just, before saying why I look at the positive ways, I just explain what is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is.
Yes.
So it's actually a kind of disorder that borrows lack of focus. So a person with ADHD might think about 5 or 6 things at the same time. It's like you have a tab, you have your, you know, browser on, your internet browser, Google Chrome on, and then you have 6 tabs, and you are reading from the 6 tabs and on the same time. Is it possible? No. So that's why, and the thing is, for example, now I'm speaking to you, but then I'm thinking about, for example, oh, did I borrow my key? So what should I make for dinner tonight? Or like, what should I call my friend and ask about that? Oh, should I study Finnish? Oh, what time should I go tomorrow? So my mind is always thinking about different things while even I'm speaking with you. Or like when I'm reading something, that's even worse, because then after 5 pages, I have to go back 5 more, you know, I have to go back and see what happened, because I was lost in thought. So this is one of the things. Another thing is, look, like, for example, we have the short memory is a little bit shorter. So, for example, we are talking about something, because we are thinking about other things, we forget what we were going to say. The other thing is that we over-explain everything. We talk too much, mostly. Of course, the things are not the same in all of ADHD people. It's like different things in different people, but the things I'm mentioning is usually common. We overthink the things a lot. Overthinking is one of the major problems of it. So out of nothing, we make a very, very big problem by overthinking. That's what overthinking is.
Right.
So many other things, such as impulsivity. So we never learn from the mistakes, and we are very impulsive. We just say something and then we regret, why did I say that? Because we do things without thinking, usually. And I was diagnosed of ADHD when I was 6 years old, and my mother decided to do not give me any medication to me because of stigmas, of course, but because of the guilt she had. So like, because I was a hyperactive kid who was running here and there, she had the guilt to give me the pills to control me. So instead, she tried to, you know, send me to football classes, art classes, this and that, to learn guitar, to learn other music instrumentals, to learn different sports, such as like badminton, football, I don't know, many, taekwondo, I remember. So, and then to the English courses and language courses. So she tried to engage me and use my energy into good things. I'm thankful to her for that. Instead of giving me pills, she tried to engage me. And then, because it's also attention deficit, I seek attention. I want to be the center of attention everywhere.
Oh, interesting. And
that helps me until I was a teacher. Because, you know, of course, it has some positive characteristics. People with ADHD are incredibly creative, very creative, because we see things differently from different point of view of others can see, you know. So we are very creative. It helped me a lot during my teaching career, because I could be very creative in my classes and people loved the classes because it was not same as those boring classes. And because I wanted to be the center of attention, as a teacher, you're always the center of attention. Because people are paying attention to you. So I had no problem with this ADHD until I moved to Finland. I studied economics for 2 years in university. Due to some reasons, I quit. The reason was ADHD. I wasn't able to focus when it got to the second year. So, you know, it was so hard for me to sit in the class, so hard for me to focus on the lines, to study. And another bad a negative characteristic of this disorder is that we are the king of procrastination. So we procrastinate everything. We say, oh, we have time for like tomorrow also. And then tomorrow comes, we say, oh, there is always a tomorrow. And then, you know, we just postpone everything to the last minute. But when it comes to last minute, we just do it perfectly. I don't know how.
Right. Yeah. Is it? Do you think it's because there are so many, like, as you put it, so many tabs open that it's overwhelming to get it started until there is that pressure, that deadline pressure.
Exactly. We can focus.
Maybe.
But there is, you know, speaking of positive points of it,
we have
lack of focus, of course, but then there is something there that it's hyper focus. If we are interested in something, then we are hyper focused, that nothing can, you know, grab our attention while we are focusing on that thing. If only we are motivated enough, if only we are interested enough on one subject, we will be hyper focused and just, you know, do that thing. So I still haven't had any medication, although it is being recommended because until this age. Now I think I need it because it's very hard to go on with the studies. For example, one technique I always had from my childhood to study was to listen to music and read something, because that music was blocking every other thoughts I had, and then I could focus on that, you know, thing I'm reading.
So it's kind of like a white noise.
Exactly. So, and people were always amazed that how do you study with music on? And I was like, ah, it's my magic. So, I'm actually, you know, I don't know if you are studying here or not, but just recently we have to pay 70 something euros to to Kela, I guess, for FSHS, if I'm not mistaken.
I've heard about that, yes.
Yeah. So it's giving us a lot of benefits for healthcare, for like if it's oral care, like for example, dentist, you have to go for, I don't know, the removing of wisdom teeth or whatever. It gives us the services. If we have some mental problems, we can go to that. Yeah. So I paid that this term. I paid the money to them. So now I'm using the benefits. So I called them and I said, hello, I have this problem. I have been diagnosed when I was a kid. And now I think I need to be treated somehow.
Yeah.
And they have given me a time, so I'm going to treat this because I really care about my studies and I hate procrastinating.
Right.
Yeah. So this is the ADHD of mine in a nutshell.
Yeah. Can someone be on a spectrum with ADHD? Like, is there a range of ADHD?
Of course. I'm not a doctor, of course. I'm just talking about my own research of what I have.
Okay.
So that what I'm saying is my assumption.
Okay.
Because I can, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
But the point is, yes. It is, of course, possible because we have people, even we have this ADHD without hyperactivity, which is called ADD.
Oh.
So, yeah. So a person is not hyperactive at all, but it has got, you know, this disorder. So, of course, there must be other ranges. Of maybe it's severe, maybe it's like not that much.
Yeah.
And people with ADHD always hide their ADHD somehow. I don't know why. Even even people with ADHD, most of them don't know about it. They don't know. They just see, oh, like, for example, it causes, even if you have a, many people get fired because of this problem, because they cannot function like others. Mm-hmm. Of course, if they know about it, there are some techniques that they can use it for better, or, you know, like, I don't know how to explain it, but
the positive effects of it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But yes, of course, there might be a range for it, for sure. Everything has got it. Yeah.
So how does one even think that they might have ADHD? Like, how do you go and take that first step to even question a health professional about that?
There's a test that there are even online tests that you can take that, and they will tell you, for example, you just search on Google ADHD test, and then you can just take those tests, and it will tell you that, oh, is it possible that you might have, or it's not possible that you have. Okay, so if it's possible that you might have, you have to go and visit a doctor for more, you know, investigating, let's say, through your problem to see if it's ADHD or not.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that would mix with ADHD is RSD. I forgot what RSD is short for, but it's also the feeling of rejection. People with ADHD, because we are attention seekers, let's say.
Yeah.
So if we got rejected, then it would lead to depression and so much of you know, major problems, let's say. So, rejection is, that's why some of us, because I'm different, but like many of people with ADHD, they avoid people because they don't want to be rejected. They avoid being rejected, let's say. I'm a little bit too confident, so that's why I go to everyone and try to make friends. That's different with me.
So did you, when you went to the healthcare professionals here in Finland, did you have to go through an assessment again, or did they just look at your past records and that was enough?
In fact, my appointment time is in 14th of April. So it's in almost 10 days. Yes, not yet. So, but I don't know about the procedure, how it is in Finland.
Okay.
I hope that it's not a long process because I'm in the middle of, you know, so much of my school is University of Applied Science.
Okay.
I like it how it sounds in Finnish. Ammatti korkeakoulu.
Yeah.
So
that was really good pronunciation.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying, you know.
Yeah.
So, so we have a lot of projects, a lot of reports, a lot of things that we must be focused and we must do. It's not only studying. We have to study and then do. And then we have got, you know, so much of like sales speech, presentations.
Yeah.
And we have a Shark Tank coming up for our
ideas. Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's
and
so
the
cool.
point is, yeah, it's so cool, but for me, with lack of focus and procrastination, it's like living in a hell at the moment.
Oh,
because
no.
I have
There's
to
so much.
You know, force myself, and it's so hard for me, and you know, because I'm always good at speaking, my team has decided that I'm the one who is gonna be the presenter in front of the sharks. You can imagine. You can imagine what I'm going through. Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure, and so many different, like, yeah, lots of different parts that are happening in your study life with the projects and and within the project, your role there, and all the work you have to do.
Exactly. So I'm just hoping that the procedure of, you know, this medication is not that long, and I can get the, because the, I have heard that medicines would act incredibly good on people. 80%, you know, to 80% of people.
Oh wow.
It will, yes, it will bring the focus needed, and I have heard the stories that people who had got the medication, they could sit still for 4 hours and do assignment with ease, let's say, without any problem.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that day would come, and I'm sure I will be in tears if such thing happens, that I can sit for 4 hours and do one thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I hope this day comes soon for you too. And yeah, that's so cool that so interesting. I didn't know that there was a positive, I guess, like, side effect of having ADHD. And as I was listening to you, I was like, do I have ADHD? Like, there maybe, am I possibly on the range? Because there were some things you're describing, and I was like, oh, shoot. But yeah, that was the whole tab illustration. Like, that was also, that's, in fact, like, when I have a browser open, I usually have a minimum of at least like 10 tabs open at a time. And I always tell people, like, that's what the inside of my brain looks like. And just listening to you describe ADHD, I was like, is it possible that I also have some form of it?
Jean, the problems are with everyone. These problems I mentioned, everyone have it. For those with ADHD, the problem is more serious, and you know, we don't call it normal people, we call it what was neurotypical, if I'm not mistaken. People without ADHD are called neurotypical, and people with ADHD are called just people with ADHD. So it's possible that everyone have got these problems. You know, not that serious. If you have 15, let's say, symptoms of it, you might have it. Might have it. I have never failed in anything, just to mention. These, I have never failed, or I was always, you know, tried to be good. For example, one of the things is that we do not recognize time. So by time, we mean that we have something to do at 10 p.m. So from 2 p.m., we cannot manage the time. So we say, hey, we have time. And then we see, it's 9:30. It's so close to 10. So, you know, we have this problem with time, with timing, time management. And one of the things, for example, if we have an appointment at 10, we always try to, I told you, we hide the ADHD. This is how. We try to be there at 9:30 so that we wait for 30 minutes just because we don't want to be late, you know, because we are scared to be late and do not recognize the time. So we try to be so early. So that's the thing. Like, you know, another thing is time management. That is our problem.
I see. So you're always thinking like one step ahead, kind of.
I must write down whatever I have to do, and I try to do it before the deadline is closed. Sometimes I fail in it, sometimes I can do it, but because I have lived with it for 24 years, for many years, because I didn't have it when I was born, but because of it, I try to write down, I try to keep reminding myself. And, you know, with this problem, I could still learn many things. I know how to play guitar, a traditional instrument from Iranian, from Persian instrument. I know how to speak English, Persian, a little bit of German and Korean. And I'm learning Finnish, you know. And puhu soma nyt, mutta opiskelen soma. So nice. See, that's a sentence I practice. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Like that really, yeah, I feel like it's not discussed enough. And I'm sure we have listeners who can relate and who can also find this very interesting and informative.
I hope so.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, I think our time is running out, but thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and we wish you all the best in your life in Finland, and I hope that appointment goes well with the healthcare professional. And that everything works out in your favor. So thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. Actually, I really like your podcast, and I always listen to it while doing something. For example, maybe I'm cleaning the house, and I'm listening to your podcast and enjoying. Yeah, I really do. And I remember you interviewing a person from Malaysia, and she gave, I remember. And it was very interesting for me back then, because I used to live in Malaysia. So when she was talking about cultural things, I could, relate somehow. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that she mentioned try to learn 300 words in a week. I tried to do that, but I failed. So so I really enjoy it. That was so interesting. But I really enjoy your podcast, and thank you for having me here. It was a pleasure, a true pleasure for me to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, it was a pleasure to have you. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers. For more information, follow our Instagram at mastering.finland.podcast, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and keep an eye on our website masteringfinland.com. Have a nice day, and good luck with your own Mastering Finland story. Bye.